Welcome to today's episode of Journey to There, exploring the intersection between personal and business growth. And now your hosts, Tracy DeForge and Russ Reba.
Tracy, yesterday, I've got news for you. I hope you're not going to be...
Good news or bad news?
You tell me. Yesterday, I sold my business and decided to become the oldest competitor in pro watercross competition. So I'm done. Now you're supposed
really?
To... Now you're supposed to say...
Bad news. Bad idea.
We're really going to get into it now because the title of the show is what?
You did what?
You did what? All right, first of all, I would not professionally divorce you, not in a million years.
Wow, thank you so much. I can breathe now.
Second of all, along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba, and we are on dry land. I'm not doing professional watercross competition. Dry land in the Journey to Their studios as we hang out with you at the intersection between personal and business growth. Find the show on iTunes at journeytothere.com, streaming on Empower Radio Fridays at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. We are all over the web, including... Inc.com?
Right. Well, I'm excited to reveal to our listeners today that I am now a contributor on Inc.com for business and personal growth. So
you've got to Google it or you search it on whatever search engine you use because
you will
amazing article.
It. Yes, the one
I read
by my name though. Tracy DeForge.
Tracy DeForge. And that's DeForge.
Yes, uh-huh. DeForge.
Okay, so
check it out.
So check that out. Now, going back to, you did what?
Yeah, okay, I want to clarify something because I got tricked into my statement.
Yes.
Because if you had rephrased it and you had said, Tracy, I have some news. I'm stepping outside myself and pushing my limits. And as a result of that, I am selling my business and becoming a professional watercross sport pro or whatever.
All right, so let's
and I would have said, okay, Russ, like I can see where that might be good for you to test your boundaries.
We can evolve the title of the show to "You're doing what?" instead of "You did
what the f."
So would you support me if I said I did that?
Well, I think the reason I had such a strong reaction was because like you said, you would never professionally divorce me, and
right.
I certainly do not ever want to go through another business or personal divorce. So the idea is a little shaky for me. But you know what? If it's what you needed to do for a little while to experience that, I might go ahead because today's topic, if you haven't already figured it out, is you did what? And we're going to be exploring the benefits of getting out of your comfort zone in life and in business.
And that's two question marks after you did what, right? Just to make it,
I think
what?
In this case, it's probably three.
Three, okay.
Okay, you know me, I always like to explain my topic. So if you had listened to one of the previous episodes, you may have heard myself broadcasting live from Vail, Colorado.
Yeah.
And Russ and I were interviewing an awesome an awesome artist, Jan McCarthy, who integrates art and business better than anyone I know. And so she was hosting a women's retreat and I attended.
That was a great show.
It was so fun. So if you're just now picking it up and listening to us, please go back and listen to that one because we had a blast.
Yeah, it's on the website. Find it on the website at journeytothere.com.
And I did my Saturday Night Live impression too. So if you just want to hear that.
There was even applause when you did your Saturday Night Live opening. Live from Vail,
Colorado.
It's
yes.
Journey to There.
So all that being said, what really spurred this topic on for me was that experience in that she, when all the women got there and like the outside of just introducing ourselves to each other, when she was talking about like the housekeeping rules, if you will,
right.
She said the first directive, it was not a suggestion, it was a flat out directive, is she told us up front that by the time that this weekend's over, you have to do one thing that is completely out of your comfort zone. And she meant it. Like, it was not a negotiable. So it was so fascinating for me to be around these other women and seeing what their comfort zones were compared to mine. And some of the things that would have been really pushing me outside my limits were things they did all the time and vice versa.
So each woman had to do something individual. It wasn't the same thing like jumping off a cliff and on a bungee cord.
Right, because you had to do something that you had never done before, because something that I'd never done before may be different than something you've ever done before,
now, did
which
Jen,
is what I found, which was so fun.
Did she have a list of... Okay.
No, it was about creativity in business, remember? So you had to create your own, and then you had to execute on it. Now, she did have some suggestions for me, such as ziplining, which I turned down abruptly.
Really?
But that was, you know, it just, only because I read this article one time about somebody ziplining and getting some bacteria infection in their leg or something. It was like flesh-eating bacteria, and I'm like,
Most normal people will worry about the cable breaking and plummeting thousands of feet. You're worried about some kind of bacteria.
Some flesh-eating bacteria. See, exactly. So everybody's comfort zone is different. Yes. I feel like they got insurance for that kind of thing, but the flesh-eating bacteria was something that was a little out of my comfort zone, if you know what I'm saying. So the thing about it is that this whole idea of pushing your limits and going outside of your comfort zone, it's really not a new idea. And in looking up and researching and doing the show prep, I almost felt like one big fat cliche, because it was just like, think outside the box, take a different direction on your way home from work, you know, get out of your comfort zone, literally.
And I like that, though.
The cliches?
Well, no. Okay.
Are you inside your comfort zone with your cliches?
I love that. Take a different route on the way home from work.
And you know, I almost didn't use that one as a cliche.
I like that one.
Well, and I'm glad that you do, and I'm glad that you corrected me for the first time ever on this show.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
glad. Because here's the thing. What might be a cliche to me may not be a cliche to you.
Right.
And I often, in my management and leadership roles that I've had throughout, and even personally, I found myself saying this the other day, is that don't assume I know something. I'd rather hear it twice than not at all.
Uh-huh.
And that one really falls under that category, because for me, I've heard that suggestion often, you know, probably in the last 10 years at least. And it's all about, like, if shaking up a rut, that the simplest, one of the most simple things you can do is take a different way to and from work, because you see all different types of things on your way. But for me, I thought, God, everybody knows that one. I got to come up with something different.
I like that one. Now, mind you, little disclaimer, if you decide to take a different route home from work and you run over a nail or hit a squirrel, it's not our fault. Okay.
It is not. And GPS actually will make this a lot more productive for you, because when I knew about it, there was no GPS.
Right.
And sometimes I would find myself lost. So very, very lost. And sometimes when you get lost on an island that's only 13 miles long and 4.5 miles wide,
there's
you
a problem.
Really challenges with your directions. So that being said, we will move on. But I do think that taking risks is part of this whole idea of getting out of the comfort zone. And, you know, we always talk about the F word, the fear word. And usually
I'm glad you clarified
risks,
that.
Yes, the F word, fear, F-E-A-R. And that is usually associated with any type of change, as we've discussed, but definitely associated with doing something different than you've already done. Do you know what the definition of insanity is, Riff?
I worked with a morning show guy who used to, after every show, he would say something to the effect of, if you keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result, that's what he would define as crazy.
As insanity?
Insanity. Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
So that's, yes, and that's how I've always heard it defined as well. I'm sure it's not the Webster's Dictionary version. But the other interesting thing to add on to that is, if you keep doing the same things you've always done, you're going to get the same things you've always gotten. And I really love that one, because that really is a motivator for change, for sure.
Okay.
And for stepping outside of your comfort zone.
I'm looking up insanity definition right now.
And it's not about CrossFit. I think there's like some sort of insanity with CrossFit. But while you're looking it up.
No, I've got it here. It says the state of being seriously mentally ill, madness, extreme foolishness, or irrationality. The second one, extreme foolishness. Maybe I am insane.
I think extreme foolishness is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. We'll just go with that. We won't put that one on my T-shirt, though. We'll just put the keep doing the same things you've already done.
Oh, you've got so many T-shirts that are going to be in the works. We're gonna run out of thread.
I know. We're just gonna have a whole store with them, and it'll be great. I'm so excited. Stay tuned. But, you know, speaking of CrossFit, I was actually thinking of that as one of the examples, because for CrossFit, that is really for some. Okay, here's one of those interesting contradictions. As I've observed, and I would like to offer the disclaimer, I have personally never done CrossFit myself.
It's real intense, right?
It's very intense. I think that's why that insanity thing reminded me of it. However, people who do CrossFit all the time, they drink the Kool-Aid. They love it. It's like this great workout for them. And so for those people, I would say, okay, great. Show me what you can do in a Zumba class. And then the people in the Zumba class, which Zumba is like this, it's kind of like the old aerobics used to do,
right.
But it's with
like jazzercise,
really
like amped
more
up,
like disco dancing in a Mexican restaurant. Yeah. That's
okay.
Without the chips and salsa.
I see margaritas flying everywhere.
But here's the thing. Please, Zumba listener, do not be offended, because I have never done a Zumba class either. Oh. So I may be insulting you without even knowing it. And if I have, my apologies.
You're going to be challenged from the listeners.
I know, I'm going to get like a black mark on this episode for so many reasons.
No, you're going to be in a Zumba class next week, and then a CrossFit, so you can prove to your audience.
Yeah, so I can come back and talk about it and say, okay, you know what? I was wrong on both accords. These things are fabulous, but
are you going to say I'm never doing this again? I'm going to get a bacterial something.
Yeah, fungus eating bacteria from going to that. Nope, not going to do it. Never mind the big 100 million pound tires you have to push or something like that in CrossFit. That's kind of scary. But the whole idea is really literally about doing something different and having a different experience. And I think it's the experience part that it gets overshadowed, because the experience is what it is. And if it's anything different, then you're going to sort of readjust your equilibrium, if you will. So that is why they say things like, if you just want to take a drive the opposite way. One of the things that I've thought of that is, again, this is applies to me, but it's not the only person it applies to, because I actually had this conversation when I was at the women's retreat too, because I found another like-minded woman, which is really kind of hard, Russ. Let me
really? There's two of you out there?
Not quite two, but one that understood me a little better than most. How about that? And so we were talking about lined and unlined paper. Which one are you? Are you a lined or an unlined?
It's funny, because I'm so paperless. I mean, I tout myself as being, my company is paperless, and lines or no lines, if I have to use paper.
You're such a control neat freak. You're inside the studio is always like spotless. And then, but I'm convinced you throw your candy wrappers on my side and blame it on me, because I don't eat Butterfingers.
Oh, my wife loves Butterfingers.
Oh, so it's her fault. Okay.
And I know she's listening right now. She's going to have one.
Okay,
all right, so lined, unlined paper.
You just have to pick one, lined or unlined. There's got to be a time in your life when you write on paper.
Well, from what you just said, as organized as I am, I've got to have the lines.
Exactly. So if you were to be handed a full notebook of blank paper and you had to write instead of type or do everything digital, let's say, God forbid, all the power went out in your studio and you had to write down some directions for somebody of how to fix it, and you only had blank paper, would it unsettle you?
Let me answer that with this. You might like this. For our anniversary or birthdays, I used to buy cards, and it's like, cards. We've seen them, been there, done that. What I do now, believe it or not, which is going to kind of be an alternate to what I just said about the lines, I go to my computer and I pull out a piece of printing paper, a blank piece of printing paper, and I'll pretty much fill that page 3/4 of the way and just write from my heart with a pen how I feel about this, milestone or this anniversary. And when I'm done, I look at it and I'm like, wow, I the lines are straight. My handwriting is neat. I also have this tendency, and this goes to organization. As I'm writing, as my lines start to curve down, I gradually fix it and start to curve back up. So in the overall completed project, it's as organized looking as possible. But so there I go, unlined paper.
I think that what that says to me is that
she's going to analyze me now.
You are very much a right-brained and a left-brained person because you can sit down and write spontaneously and sincerely from your heart in a very creative way. But at the same time, your left brain won't just let you freeform it. You still have to create these lines that don't exist.
Right.
So I'm going to put you in the category of lined pages because I think that particular example once a year might be an anomaly.
That doesn't fall under the category of insane, does it?
Not yet.
Okay.
However, it does fall under the category of inspiration, which is a benefit of going outside your comfort zone that
okay.
most people underestimate or maybe don't even realize. So
cool.
When you're thinking about the benefits of getting out of your comfort zone, the typical ones are you learn something new, you gain a stronger sense of self, you get a promotion perhaps, or get, hit a goal that you've never reached before. So those are sort of, in my mind, those are kind of like the obvious benefits of getting outside the comfort zone. But I really love the idea of thinking of it as people are always watching you, and not in like a creepy way, but they're like watching you from like an admiration perspective. And just you telling that story, for example, you have now endeared yourself to every female listener that we have.
Oh, cool.
And you have more than likely made all our male listeners feel very uncomfortable and less than.
Sorry,
but
guys.
That's a whole nother topic.
Sorry.
You just need to have your own sense of self, people. Yes, go for it. Write your own cards for your wives. But that whole idea of inspiration is something that I really want to contribute to this episode because it's a motivational force. Sometimes you have like this drive to do something different, but at the same time, you're like, yeah, it's not going to be that big of a deal, or it's not going to make that big of a difference, or it's not going to, so that you're sort of talking yourself out of doing whatever it is you have the drive to do. But then if you stop and think about it, it was like, and you, especially like in your case and the people's case who have small children, and as they're raising small children, it's like they watch what you do.
Right.
So if you're pushing yourself out of your comfort zone in a healthy way, then they're inspired to become less fearless and be encouraged to do similar things like that. So I'm sure you
like
probably have pushed yourself out of some comfort zones before in front of your boys, and they were inspired, even though they may not even have known it.
Yeah, no, I definitely, absolutely. Oh, there's that word, absolutely.
And it's also the benefit of that, too, from an inspiration perspective, just because I love this part of it, is just like when you're taking the risk and believing in yourself, then that allows other people to feel like that they can do the same thing. So one of the things that I did that I don't know how inspirational it was to anyone else, however, I do know it was inspirational to me, is that I ran a half marathon and I was never a runner.
Oh,
never.
That's awesome.
And, I'm not giving myself enough credit. I do know that I inspired some people because the next half that we were training for, some new people joined our running group that had never ran to that length before. And I also had a lot of people ask me like training questions and stuff like that. So I do think there was a level of inspiration that I underestimated, but
well,
at the same time, it was awesome.
Let me ask you this.
To push myself.
And you might not know the answer to this, but of those individuals that you inspired, how many of those do you know, are any of them still running marathons now?
That is such a great question, and I can't answer it. You're not going to believe how. Just 3 days ago, I was getting my hair done. Don't roll your eyes. I see you. You're rolling your eyes. I was getting my hair done, and in a long-winded conversation that I will not repeat because it's not relevant, I found out that this one girl that was running with us at that time had her hair done by the same stylist that I have my hair done by.
Yeah.
And when, as a result, of course, you tell your hairdresser everything.
Yeah.
So I knew I could get the answer from him. And I said, oh, is she still running? And he said, yeah, she is. She's still doing
really?
It. And I was like, so yes, Russ, yes, I can answer that. And she is still moving forward with her running shoes. I, on the other hand, got really bad plantar fasciitis in both of my feet because I'm so all or nothing that I had to drop out during the second training. So,
but you inspired some folks. I like that.
I did. And I will tell you, too, that it was a pivotal moment for me because I was kicked. I was kicked. I was not kicked as a child.
Hey, you said I didn't.
Well, wow. I was picked last for kickball
as a child.
When I was a child. Okay. Because, you know, at that time, you didn't just show up and get a trophy like I think can happen in cases today, which has its pros and cons. But there were no showing up for trophies when I was in elementary school. You either got picked for the good team or you were standing there alone at the end.
Okay,
let's go back to... The teacher said, go over there. And then everybody went,
Let's reverse the truck to where you were getting kicked as a child.
That would be horrifying for my parents to hear. No, I did not get kicked as a child. I got picked last for kickball.
Gotcha.
Yes, because, you know, I always appreciate Russ. You always give me like really nice compliments when I say something disparaging about my physical appearance. And I'm not saying anything disparaging right now.
Just look at the picture on the website.
Exactly. And I love that you do that. It always makes me smile. However, if you had looked at a picture of me when I was getting picked last for kickball, I had naturally
Is this
curly
with the
hair.
Mouth guard and the glasses?
The naturally curly hair
pimples.
Without the silicone products and glasses. So, I mean, whoa, it was bad. It was so bad.
You got to dig up one of those pictures.
And so that is my inspirational story from getting picked last for kickball to running a half marathon. You can do it. That's my inspirational moment for the day.
All right, now before we go to break, there is something in the show notes that has something to do with... you know, just say yes now.
Well, that is,
and worry about it later.
I am going to reveal in my takeaways. So let's okay. do that when we come back.
Because I'm very looking forward to that. Because it's among Tracy's takeaways, one of the things I did see, contrary to what Nancy Reagan said in 1986, is just say yes. But when,
as opposed to
just say no. But right. We're not saying, you know, not to drugs. But we'll look at that. And I'm excited to. I don't know if the word is debate or argue this with you, but I'm excited to touch on that next.
Well, stay on the edge of your seat.
Is the only thing keeping you from launching your podcast not knowing how? Let our award-winning team of veteran broadcasters relieve the overwhelm of launching, managing, and growing your show. You create the content and let the experts take the stress out of the rest. Contact us at produceyourpodcast.com for a free 15-minute consultation. produceyourpodcast.com.
Take your business personally. Journey to There.
Okay, we're back listening to the Journey to There radio show. And before we broke, we were talking about what kind of opposite of what Nancy Reagan said in 1986. She said, just say no. Tracy
and
says,
we say, just say
just,
yes.
Just say yes. So let's, however, and that's one of your Tracy's takeaways.
It is one of my takeaways. However, I'm going to keep you on pins and needles, Russ, because the one of the things that I want to say leading up to that is something that will give you more of the how and the why as opposed to the answers.
Okay.
So one of the things that I want to point out, and it's my first takeaway, and I think, honestly, it's my primary takeaway from this show, is that in all of these conversations that we are having around the making the decision to go outside the comfort zone, and we've talked about all the benefits of everything from inspiration to productivity and everything in between. I think one of the most overlooked parts of the motivational factor for making a decision to get outside your comfort zone is understanding your why. Because if you don't really understand your why you're doing uh-huh. something, then the benefits are less likely to be as impactful and you're a lot less likely to actually go through with it. So I'm going to use the half marathon as an example because we just talked about that story, that god-awful story. But my why in doing that half marathon initially was not because I wanted to rectify my childhood issues and that realizing that my self-esteem was connected to that in an athletic way, but it was really more about seeing if I could do it and the benefits of the training and thinking I was going to lose like all this weight, which you don't necessarily, by the way, when you train for a half marathon, you actually can gain weight. That's a superstition. No, it's not. It's a false theory. Whatever.
Well, listen to Tracy. She's just taking over the microphone. She's having a conversation with herself.
No, well, the 13.1 reminded me of being suspended.
Okay, well, the 13.1 reminded you of what?
Okay, I know this is really far-fetched and it's not a takeaway, but the 13.1 reminded me of 13, like Friday the 13th,
oh,
which reminded me of Superstitious, which for whatever reason I went down this rabbit hole, but now I'm back.
All right, I got to reel her back in here.
So, and I'm so sad because this was my most important takeaway.
You sound sad.
Well, I'm sad for you who are listening thinking, what is the damn takeaway? Okay, the takeaway is understanding your why. Because if you do understand your why, then you are more likely to motivate yourself faster, get more benefits, and then, of course, that inspiration comes. So that is, it's so easy to tell yourself why you should, but just examine the real reasons, the pros and the cons, and then just say yes.
Just say yes. Now explain
just
that.
Just say yes. Okay, so it may be surprising to some that what this actually means, because I would think on the surface it would just be like, just say yes, as in like, go girl, yay team, just say yes, you can do it. But what it actually derives from is a quote from Richard Branson, and this is primarily focused on the business side of getting out of your comfort zone, but I do think it applies to both. And the quote that he is famous for, now I'm paraphrasing, however, the real quote will be in the show notes, but it's something to the effect of, like, when an amazing opportunity is presented to you, just say yes and figure out the rest later.
Okay, so, now here's the problem I have with that, and I could be overanalyzing here, because
really
I was a creative director for a very large marketing agency, and they must have, I don't know if they saw the future of what you were going to inspire them to say, just say yes, figure out the details later type of thing. And the problem, it was great. It was great for the company, but the underlings had an issue with it, because in the sense of a sale, just say yes. We'll figure out how to fulfill it. We'll figure out how to get it done.
Sales and programming challenge.
Right, and they would just say yes, and the client would be like, "Cool, we're gonna get exactly what they say we're gonna get." And then all of a sudden, they take this little, you know, package or production or creative order, and they throw it down to me and say, "All right, the client is expecting this, this, and this." And it's like, wait a minute, we don't have the resources to do this. Well, figure out how to get it done, because we just said yes.
Okay, so Russ, I'm going to say something and I'm going to see if it causes you post-traumatic stress. Do you think that you could... That was me.
That wasn't just you. That was you, and that
and
was
Tammy, and
that
and
was
half the rest
that,
of
that
the
was
sales.
That was all the women, and that's
but
all we had
me,
at the time. Oh my gosh!
It always started out with do you think? And then it was just like,
so I had a whole pile of, can you just do this?
Can you just do?
Do you think? And I know it's so I had a pile of on the side things that I had to get done.
Okay. So, I'm not going to dismiss your feelings, because I was there and I experienced them.
Okay.
And I'm sorry. I'm deeply sorry for those moments. However, I believe two things. One, you were getting hit with it frequently. That was your norm. That wasn't your amazing opportunity.
The funny thing is you think that my reference is to the organization that I worked at with you.
No, I knew it wasn't.
Okay.
I'm just saying, like, you were telling
you were feeling
story,
guilty about
like,
my experience.
I was, and I was also thinking, man, he went into that job with a lot of experience.
Yes, I did.
And anybody who's listening to our show that doesn't know this, they're on or around 25 or so years ago, Russ and I worked together in the same broadcast media company, so we have a lot of experience of me generating revenue.
Let me make you say aw. You said broadcast media company. When we started, it was a radio station. Tracy turned it into a broadcast media company. Thank you very much.
Yes, you are my biggest fan. I'll pay you later. So, amazing opportunity is the key to that statement. So, when I took on the client of Granny Pearl's Kitchen, our cookie client we've referenced, I knew nothing about launching a food product. And as recently as a month or so ago. It was at the Fancy Food Show and was featured in magazines and is in big box retailers. So I said yes to an amazing opportunity, and then I figured it out.
Okay, and that I agree with. And that was more of an intimate relationship. But in my case, we were talking about a huge company and a lot of people under me that were being affected by something that we just didn't have resources. So that was my argument. But
it wasn't your amazing opportunity. It wasn't, right. Like, we could fight this all day.
It was right. It was my boss's amazing opportunity. But
I'm going to cut Russ off because I have because I don't want to talk about it anymore, and because I have a quote that I would be remiss if I didn't read. You know, I love my quotes.
Yes. Rest.
And so this one I just fell in love with when I was doing the prep, and I didn't even know of this person, but his name is David Van Rooy. He's the Walmart Senior Director of International Human Resources.
Wow.
And wrote the book Trajectory, 7 Career Strategies to Take You from Where You Are to Where You Want to Be. The quote is, "True differentiation is achievable only for those who are willing to dive into new areas."
I like it.
Friendly way to end it, other than a debate.
It's perfect. I like when we debate sometimes. So if you were not a risk taker before this show began, hopefully you are now. I have been inspired by you, Tracy. Trust me, even though, you know, we have our disagreements sometimes. Along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba. This has been another inspiring episode of Journey to There. Gosh, I hope it's been inspiring for you. It's been for me.
It's been unnerving, but yes.
Subscribe.
Inspiring. And I can't talk.
Subscribe on iTunes and be sure to catch us online at journeytothere.com, and you can find all those past episodes that we reference. We would love to get your thoughts, by the way, and comments on the show. Take some risks today.
We hope you've enjoyed today's journey, and we invite you to visit journeytothere.com to download full episodes, find show notes, and connect with us by signing up for our newsletter. We want to hear from you. Give us feedback or ask any questions by clicking or tapping Contact Us. That's journeytothere.com.